So if you are just joining us, for the past several weeks, we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount paints a picture for us of life in the kingdom of God. It is our moral standard. It is our ethical norm. It is a value system that guides our thinking. It shapes our devotion. It shapes our thinking about money and possessions, about relationships. It even shapes our opinions about ambition. So whether you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for a long time, walking with the Lord, or whether you're just kind of starting out on your journey, the great thing about the Sermon on the Mount is it kind of levels the playing ground, doesn't it? Because we're all exposed by Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. It reminds us that regardless of where we are in our journey, we all have a long way to go. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is also an invitation. It's an invitation to be different. It's an invitation to walk in the ways of Jesus that are distinct from even the nominal church, that are distinct also from the secular world. Now, this reading that we just had, the teaching of Jesus, is a difficult teaching this morning. And so what I want you to hear is, I'm going to be true to the text, and I'd like to talk about that. But I also want you to hear grace, right? Because God does give us grace, and God gives us His Holy Spirit to help guide us and to help us. So today's topic is on the topic of judgment. And we have a lot to learn from Jesus about this. But if there's kind of one overarching thing that we can learn is that judging others is really serious business, right? We know that. Judging others by the world's standards tell us that everyone else has a problem that needs to be fixed except us. It affects our relationships with others and with God, and it also affects our own very well-being. It's serious business because when we judge others by the world's standards or even by our own standards, sometimes it's as if we're playing God. And that never really ends well. So the first thing I think that makes this a little bit difficult is kind of the meaning that we're getting at here. What does it mean to judge or judgment? Well, there are a couple of popular meanings. When we use the word judgment, we could mean using good discernment, making wise decisions. That's really not what Jesus is cautioning us against. But judgment can also mean passing sentence on someone, condemning them, thinking that we have the last word in their life, right? That's when we're playing God, and that's what Jesus is cautioning us against. So let's dive into that. Jesus starts in verse 1 by saying, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." He knows the human condition. He knows that when we judge others, it is oftentimes out of a place of emotion or pain, and most frequently even pride. He knows that we have a tendency to see our faults, our sins magnified in other people, and therefore we judge them for what is true of us. If we are an arrogant person, we tend to see arrogance in others and judge them for it. If we're a harsh person, we often see harshness in other people and we judge them for it. It's extraordinarily difficult to be objective in judging others, primarily because of our own discontent with our own faults and our own sins. Jesus knows that we judge others because we believe we know another person's heart. I mean, how many times have I jumped to the conclusion about someone's heart or about their motives, right? Brennan Manning, a priest and author who has influenced so many people in his writing, he said this: "None of us has ever seen a motive. Therefore, we don't know. We can't do anything more than suspect what inspires the action of another. For this good and valid reason, we're told not to judge." You know, we've never seen a motive. And when someone does something that angers us or displeases us or upsets us, we immediately jump to the conclusion that they've done something wrong and they've done it intentionally because we think we know the person's heart. And of course, the danger of that is in playing God. Fortunately for us, there is only one righteous God who does know our hearts and who does know our motives and who judges us righteously. And the reading also says, that this righteous judge will judge us according to how we judge others. Ouch. Ouch, right? If we condemn others or harsh to others, make judgment about what a person is like based on rumor, innuendo, or even our own sense of self-righteousness, we have no right to complain if God or others judge us in the same way. If we condemn the unrepentant, never give people a chance to change, never forgive them, we can expect that reciprocal treatment. When Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged," he is issuing a stern warning that this is very serious business, precisely because our judgment is blurred by the plank that is in our own eye. And we can't really, our vision is blurred. We can't trust our vision. And that's why Jesus then goes into this comment about the plank and the speck. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So yes, this passage is about judgment, but it's more than that, isn't it? It's about hypocrisy. It's about holding others to a higher standard than we are willing to apply to ourselves. And with any shred of self-awareness, we at least I, feel the sting of that. One doesn't have to think long and hard. Nick and I were working on this together, and we were thinking, where do we see this kind of judgment leading to hypocrisy behavior most prevalent in our culture? And quite frankly, it's in our political discourse, right? I mean, we know that. We know that to be true. The way in which we judge others, condemn others, and even demonize others who disagree with our political principles. Now, I want to be really clear about this, okay? Because I don't want to get in trouble. My boss is sitting right over here. I'm not talking about political principles here. I'm talking about attitudes. I'm talking about attitudes. I'd be way overstepping, my authority if I were talking about political principles. Nor am I, commending moderation as an end of itself. I'm talking about attitudes. The way so many people practice politics, and I've been guilty of this myself. The way in which we articulate our principles and treat those on the other side of the aisle who disagree with us is perhaps the clearest example of the hypercritical and contemptuous spirit that Jesus is talking about in this passage. So we must use great caution. This is what Jesus is warning us against. The fact is, in what I just read, the last verse that I just read, Jesus is applying tough love. And this is good news, right? He's applying tough love for the ultimate purpose of healing and restoration, sanctification, moving toward Christ-likeness. And that's good news. He's saying that, of course, our tendency is to be hypercritical, which just kind of demonstrates how hypocritical we can be, because we often judge others for the very same things that are true within us. But the good news is the two words that kind of change the meaning of this, or alter the meaning a little bit for us, of verse 5 that I just read, the two words that help focus verse 5 on restoration and healing are the words "and then." And then. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus is not suggesting that we can't help one another, remove the speck, from our eyes, if you will. He's not suggesting that we can't point out behavioral flaws in our brothers and sisters. He is saying that seeing and removing the speck from our brother's eye has the same benefit as removing the plank, the beam, the rafter from our own eye. And that is so we can both see clearly to move toward Christ-likeness. But what he's saying is that our first priority is attending to our own behavior here. You know, it's only after correcting our own behavior that we can see clearly enough to use good judgment in helping another change to move toward Christ-likeness. The first priority is our own behavior. And again, just to be clear about this, Jesus is not ruling out the possibility of using wise judgments to guide others, even through corrective suggestions. He's not saying that there's no such thing as a public morality that needs to be corrected. What he is doing, he's warning us that the very same people who are so eager to find faults in others, the very same people who are so eager to judge others and condemn them and criticize them, are the very same people that need to take a very long look in the mirror. So let's just recap up to this point. So chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus says, you know, do not judge or you too will be judged. So he's talking about how this is serious business. And then he uses tough love in verse 5 to explain why it's nearly impossible for us to judge others objectively, because we tend to be hypercritical about the things that are very true in our own lives. He further suggests that it may be possible to use wise judgment to help others move toward healing and wholeness, toward Christ-likeness, but only after we've made efforts to look to examine our own lives, right? And now we move into the cryptic verse 6. He gives us an illustration of what appropriate judgment looks like. And this seems really cryptic to, you know, 21st century, you know, Christians. So I'll read it. It says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then tear you to pieces. What the heck is he talking about there? I mean, it seems so disconnected from the previous warnings against judgment. What he's saying is, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit of length because I think it does have some application for us. He is expecting that his listeners, those who were standing in his presence, would use wise judgment. Specifically, they would be judicious in sharing holy and precious things with people in these categories. Now, we're going to talk about contemporary application in just a moment, but I think it's important to look at what Jesus was actually saying here to his listeners. So who, you know, what are the things that are holy and precious, and who are these pigs and dogs? And what's the connection with this statement and the previous warnings? Well, first of all, his listeners would have known that dogs, the term dog was just a derogatory term toward Gentiles, toward non-Jews. And we know that Jews don't eat pork, so the Jews didn't keep pigs. So his listeners would know that he was referring to those outside of the Jewish world. What's the precious commodity that he's talking about? The holy thing that he's talking about? He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about his teaching on the kingdom of God. And he seems to be warning his followers not to spend time sharing the good news of the gospel with those who would not understand the Jewish context in which it makes sense. In other words, Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. Gentiles wouldn't have an appreciation for that. And it also makes sense in the context of his listeners, not so much today, we'll talk about that in a minute, that, you know, that Jesus' mission was to the Jews. His mission was to the Jews. And he didn't want his followers giving gifts, if you will, these precious things, to people who would have no appreciation for them, and where the gifts of the kingdom, his good news of the kingdom, would just be trampled on under feet. They would be mocked and ridiculed. As I said, his mission was to the Jews. However, we also know that the mission for his followers changed dramatically, didn't it, right after the resurrection, when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. The mission changed. But for that particular moment in time, when Jesus was on mission, his disciples were to treasure the gospel. treasure the good news of the kingdom and to use discernment about who to share that with. So, let's kind of wrap it all up here, and we're going to talk about application. You know, what can we learn, you know, from this teaching today? And I think there are maybe four things that we can take away. First of all, is that Jesus does know the human condition. He knows that we all condemn people. And he's clearly warning us that this is serious business. It really is serious business. Because we will be judged in the same way that we lay out judgment toward others. So we must use great care. God is the only righteous judge. He is able to judge mercifully. And so if we were to want to judge others, it would be safe if we would judge others in the same way that God judges us, mercifully, compassionately, patiently, humbly. That's the first thing. Second, Jesus is clearly saying here that it's really that the first focus should be on our own behavior. That should be the priority. His teaching was that, you know, that our natural tendency is to see our faults magnified in other people, and so we judge them for it without examining our own lives. So when we find ourselves condemning other people, being hypercritical of other people, of traits that we see in them, that should be a red flag, I think, for you and I, to actually look in the mirror and examine our own hearts and our own lives for those very same behaviors that we're criticizing. The third thing, and I think this is something that I was so glad to be reminded of in this reading today, and that is how important it is to treasure the gospel. How important it is to treasure the gospel. You know, it is so easy to take it for granted, isn't it? It's like we have been inoculated against it, right? You know, an inoculation is receiving a very small thing that prevents us from getting the real thing. I think so many times we've just received the small thing of the Christian faith that has kept us from getting the real thing. And so we've lost sight of just how priceless the gospel is. But as I look around and see lives being changed of people that I know and love, it just makes me appreciate just how priceless the gospel is. Treasure the gospel. And finally, I think, again, now we're going back to the message about the pigs and the dogs. What's a contemporary application for that? I think the application for me in this is primarily to be sensitive in sharing the gospel. Pigs and dogs wouldn't know what to do with pearls. It's a totally inappropriate gift. And oftentimes, I think we've been taught that we just need to go out and, you know, preach the gospel, share the gospel with people without considering, without using wise judgment about what they are ready and prepared to receive. I think if I had just insensitively blurted out the gospel to everyone that I've invited to the Alpha course, I'd be batting zero. Many might have just trampled on the pearls of the gospel had I been insensitive in that approach. And perhaps the greatest gift and the most precious gift we can give to people is just that nugget of the good news of the gospel that they are prepared to receive. And how do we know that? We know that by being in relationship with people, by knowing them deeply, by doing life deeply with them. Sharing that pearl that would be most helpful to them, that next step for them in their life toward Christ. Christians, we are called to use discerning and wise judgment. It's required of us in Scripture, without a doubt. Jesus is not suggesting passivity when it comes to all the wrong doings in this world, confronting those things. He's not even suggesting that we can't be critical of one another, because true criticism, right, can be a very helpful thing and even very much appreciated. But judging others can be very serious business. When we play God, when we think we know another person's heart, and we think we know that their motives. And when we have not dealt with our own faults and our own sins, and yet we delight in finding fault in others. I think that's the heart of this teaching. And so, how do we judge others? How do we use judgment? Can we condemn? Well, as I said, I think the safest way to approach this in our own lives is to judge others in the same way that the one righteous judge judges us, mercifully, compassionately, patiently, and humbly. Amen. Would you like to stand, and we will pray for a moment.